Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing this to you today, and I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach that there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, March the 14th. The key word is energy, and the affirmation is, the energy of divine life renews me. How do I have the focus to achieve my goals? How do I have the strength to carry on through challenging times? How do I have the aptitude to learn, grow, and change when I'm called upon to do new things? At the heart of everything I am called to do is the energy to do it. I'm a divine being, and I call upon the power of God within me to channel my energy in deliberate ways. Divine energy is inexhaustible. Unlike my muscles, which can tire, and my mind, which can feel frazzled, the power of God within flows through me unimpeded. In prayer, I claim divine energy and imagine it flowing through me with the force of a mighty waterfall. I am grateful for my renewal. And the scripture is Isaiah 40, 30-31, and it reads, "Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Amen. Now we'll have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So welcome to another lesson in this Release and Renew Spiritual Practice for Lent 2021, and this is part four. And today we are going to dig deeper, into the divine idea that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I know you've heard that many, many times. You even hear it from Oprah and Deepak, and you know, many others share this same concept. But we continue to explore this spiritual notion in an effort to expand our understanding as to what we need to do to be able to live from this knowing, no matter what is happening in our lives. Now, listen to this simple roadmap for awakening from Paramahansa Yogananda. He says, read little, meditate more, and think of God all the time. All right? Now, he's not discouraging us from reading. What he's really saying is spend more time meditating and spend more time thinking of God all the time. So, you know, from that concept, it's sort of like a formula for how do we get ourselves to move closer into this spiritual aspect. The idea of read little is because we are very much inclined to enhance and expand our intellect. And that's why we'll spend so much time reading. And reading is more concrete to us, where meditation can be more abstract. We talked about this last week, the difference between, you know, the material world being concrete and sort of keeps us engaged in it, and the spiritual world being more abstract, and it seems to be more difficult for us to get ourselves engaged in that realm. So that's what, you know, Paramahansa Yogananda is trying to get to. But have you ever heard, I know you've heard his work, and I think I've used it before, it's called preternatural. It means something that occurs that is beyond what is normal or natural. And it is what we might call a miracle. So that which is preternatural is what we would call a miracle. And we've all had preternatural experiences at one time or another in our lives. And all of these lessons are striving to help us to understand how to reach a consciousness where we are able to invoke preternatural experiences at will. Right? So the following is a combination of sentences taken from different parts of the Science of Mind book written by Ernest Holmes that may help us to understand how we are innately wired for preternatural experiences. All right? And it says, you know, you belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius in back of this vast array of ceaseless motion, this original flow of life. And your soul belongs to the universe. Your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks fulfillment. So there must be a true pattern of yourself in this invisible creative intelligence. And Emerson says, every person is a doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite, through which God becomes you, through which the universe becomes you. Okay, so this idea of God in us, we're the expression of God, I think I said this last week, it comes from so many different things that you read and study that, you know, it helps you to begin to grasp the idea that we truly are spirit expressing. Okay, and you know, and this is what I was just saying that I read is very similar to the New Thought thinking that we always say that we're the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea, or simply, I am God expressing. Okay, now I know that may be a difficult idea for many to acknowledge as a legitimate affirmation, I am God expressing, but as Ernest Holmes expressed, there must be a true pattern of yourself in this invisible, okay? And this true pattern of yourself is what we commonly refer to as our Christ body, the aspect of each one of us that maintains its unity with spirit, all right? The Christ body within, or the spiritual body within, okay? So it is the spiritual body that underlies the physical body. Right? There's a spiritual body that underlies the physical body. And I think even scientists would have to express that, or they do express, that there's something going on that causes this mechanism, this billions of cells, to operate in such unison that, you know, no scientist or, you know, could ever figure out how to duplicate. Right? And likewise, we have the Christ mind, or the spiritual mind, that underlies our personal mind. So we have the spiritual body, or the Christ body that underlies our personal body, and we have the spiritual mind, or Christ mind, that underlies our personal mind. So in other words, no matter what we are experiencing in our physical body, there is a spiritual body, the Christ body within, that remains whole and unaffected by what is happening in the physical world, whether it is the coronavirus or whatever, okay? Why? Because our spiritual body does not align itself in any way with the circumstances of the physical body. However, it is by way of prayer and meditation, because the question is like, okay, well, how can I get into alignment? How can I get my physical body in alignment with my spiritual body? Well, the answer we always give is by way of prayer and meditation, that we can align our physical body with our spiritual body. So whereas courageous spiritual thought causes greater connection between our physical body and our physical protecting power of our spiritual body, so our physical body and spiritual body are connected through this courageous thought that we have. But negative, fearful thought pulls us further and further away from the healing, protecting power of our spiritual body, and it leaves us susceptible to outer forces. So when we talk about prayer and meditation, there's a whole lot that happens in that process. Much of it, we don't know anything about. In other words, when you come out of meditation or prayer, you know, you really can't pinpoint and say, oh, that was good, this is what happened, okay? Because so much of what is happening at a level much deeper than we're able to perceive at the time. Okay. However, this idea about, you know, the physical body or the spiritual body does not get caught up in the dynamics of the physical body. You know, this does not negate the importance of the healing, protecting substance. Protecting us from things like what's going on in the world right now. However, because of where we are, things like the coronavirus vaccine. Okay, that's important because materia medica, that's what sort of metaphysicians call the world of medicine, materia medica is a universe's way of materializing divine substance to help protect us as we are striving to make the divine connection with our spiritual body. Does that make sense? Okay, so as we are trying, it's sort of like, you know, you're here sometime if you have an extremely bad headache and you just can't get yourself to meditate, you know, sort of the idea is, well, take an aspirin or, you know, Advil or whatever it is, it helps your headache calm down so then you can enter into meditation. So that's what I'm saying. Materia medica is divine substance that came into material form to help us where we are in this moment while we're trying to make this divine connection with our spiritual body. So let me say again, materia medica is divine substance materialized to protect us where we are presently in consciousness. And likewise, just as we have a spiritual body, we also have a spiritual mind within us that remains whole and unaffected no matter what, you know, no matter what's happening, because it does not align itself in any way with the perceptions of our ego mind, okay? Rather, it is by way of the practice, again, prayer meditation, that we strive to align ourselves with our spiritual mind, allowing this divine connection to change our perceptions from fear to faith. So let me just, you know, kind of recap that. We have this spiritual body and we have this spiritual mind. But these two aspects of ourselves do not react to the outer dynamics the way our physical body and physical mind reacts. So it's not a matter of trying to get our spiritual mind and spiritual body to come up to understand what we're going through. It's a matter of bringing ourselves back into alignment with our spiritual mind and spiritual body where healing and wholeness happens. Okay? So our spiritual body and spiritual mind are the higher states of our being that we strive to raise ourselves to through our dedicated practice of prayer and meditation. Now, without this practice, our tendency is to remain at lower states of consciousness. Okay? That's the reason for the practice of prayer and meditation, is to raise ourselves to higher levels of consciousness. And again, what I'm saying here is, you a lot of times don't detect that right away. It's a process that happens over time. It's sort of like the difference between taking aspirin and white willow bark. Okay, the aspirin might give you a quicker response time, but it doesn't last very long. Whereas when you take herbs, it takes longer for them to get into your system, but they stay with you longer. So that's what I'm saying. Prayer meditation, it may, you know, may take longer for it to get into your system, but it stays with you longer. So that's why you have to keep at it, keep working with it. All right. So, like I said, without that practice, we stay at these lower levels of consciousness, lower states of consciousness. And as Jesus expressed in John 8:23, you are from below, okay? You're from those lower states of consciousness. I am from above. I am from higher states of consciousness. You are of this world, affected by all the stuff that's going on. I am not of this world, okay? I'm not affected by all that's going on, not in the same way that you are. So the simple language of the Message Bible, I like to go to the Message Bible sometimes because it breaks it down and makes it simpler to understand. But this is how it explains the words we just heard from Jesus. He says, you are tied down to the mundane. I am in touch with what is beyond your horizons. You live in terms of what you can see and touch. I'm living on other terms. And then Jesus said, I told you that you were missing God in all that you do. You are at a dead end and don't know it. If you won't believe I am who I say I am, you are missing God in yourselves. Okay. So again, it's sort of this concept. Jesus is saying the whole idea is to help yourself to rise up to higher and higher levels of states of consciousness. So Jesus reiterated by what Ernest Holmes and Emerson said, is saying that we are still unaware of who we truly are. And yes, we may be personally and intellectual, have personal and intellectual understanding, because we all do a lot of reading and a lot of studying. So we understand, you know, the lot of things we read, we say, okay, I get it. That's what it's all about. But we got it intellectually. We didn't really get it into our spirit. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. You've got to get this into your spirit. That's what Paramahansa Yogananda is saying. You know, he says, you know, read less, meditate more. Okay? The reading is getting it into our intellect. The meditation is getting it into our spirit. Okay? And again, under those is the idea, so in our personal intellectual understanding, some of these statements we hear, they're not really true to us. We don't really have a true understanding of what they're all about. And we are missing the true reality of the God of our body and the God of our mind, okay? By not doing the work we need to do to help raise our consciousness, we're missing the true reality of the God of our body and the God of our mind, and how to make the connection that will help us to truly know who we are as a divine spirit. So when disturbing situations happen in our lives, it's our tendency to connect to the disturbing situation. So much so that we lose all of our perspectives that lie within us, this invisible power and presence that lies within us. Now, we may come back, you know, we may lose it, get connected to the stuff that's happening, and because we've been practicing for so long, we'll find ourselves coming back, okay? But we don't want to lose that, the understanding of this invisible power and presence of God that's always within us, capable of lifting up our body and lifting up our mind above the circumstances in our lives. Okay, that's the reason for maintaining, as the last thing that Paramahansa said was, think of God all the time. Okay, so read less, meditate more, and think of God all the time. That helps to keep us at higher levels of consciousness when these circumstances in our lives happen. Okay? So Ernest Holmes says, you are to believe with utmost simplicity and with complete faith that there is an inner pattern of your being, a real spirit of you, which is as eternal as God, as indestructible as reality, and as changeless as truth. This pattern is seeking to manifest through you, and back of it is all the will and purpose of the universe and all the irresistible laws of being. And if, when in fear and worry, you can learn to remain still, eventually the inner voice, the creative intelligence, will win and guide you through every challenge. Okay? So whenever you find yourself in fear and worry, there is always, always, always an inner calling to just become still and prepare yourself for a spiritual epiphany. Okay? Now, the word epiphany means a perception of reality by means of a sudden intuitive realization. It comes as a realization that God really is in charge of your life and affairs. Okay? And that's what you want to, you want to just be able to say to yourself, God is in charge of my life and affairs. Yes, this is happening. I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this or work through it or whatever it might be. But I know that God is in charge of my life and affairs. And think of the truth we affirmed together, you know, in previous lessons. I think it came from a movie that Pam and I was watching. It says, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So we have two significant challenges facing us. Realizing God really is in charge of our life and affairs, and being able to hold on to that realization when confronted by those circumstances or people who stir up negative, fearful energy within us. But the good news is, no matter what we are experiencing, God never stops being God, and God never stops being the good in my life and affairs. Okay? Now, for those note takers, I'm going to give you a bunch of Bible verses. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. Psalm 18, verse 2. Psalm 31, verse 3, Psalm 62, verse 2, and Psalm 71, verse 3. Okay? Now, We read a very similar variation of the of this particular verse in all of those that I just gave you. The verse is, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Each one of those says it in its own way, but it's really saying the same thing. So again, we affirm with that, you know, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. We affirm, again, God never stops being God, and God never stops being the good in my life all the time. Okay. However, if we do not do the work to attune ourselves to the guidance of our inner Lord of our being, we will continue to contend on our own with the challenges that come from resisting the natural inner flow of spirit. Okay? So to repeat what Emerson said, every one of us is a doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite. So when things are going on in your life, whatever it might be, the needs, wants, you know, challenges, whatever, you got to realize that you are the doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite. The way we always say it is, God can only do for you what you allow God to do through you, okay? So we always want to keep that thought in mind. So we are the doorway through which God becomes you. We're the doorway through which the universe becomes you, okay? So, we would say that we're the inlet and the outlet. We're the inlet and the outlet for God. You know, we're saying that it's an entire universe that comes to our aid when we need it. And it's doing that all the time. It's whether or not we are allowing it or we're blocking it, okay? And I think I mentioned in a previous lesson that one of our biggest problems is that we believe we own ourselves. You know, as in, this is my body, this is my mind, this is my soul, this is my spirit. But none of that is true. Nothing that we have belongs to us. Everything belongs to God. That's why it, in its absolute form, tithing is 100%, because nothing we have belongs to us. All right? So as we read earlier, your soul belongs to the universe. Your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks to express. So our spiritual work is to learn how to flow with the flow, to allow ourselves to flow with the movement of God within us. Pam and I are watching a series called Heartland, and it's all about a young girl, 16 years old, who has this powerful ability to work with troubled horses. Okay, and she had this one horse, she could not get it to do what she needed it to do. And so she learned about a Native American that her mother had trained with. And she went out to work with him. And it's real interesting. If you saw Karate Kid, you know, the wax on, wax off, and it seemed to have nothing to do with learning martial arts, what he was working with her on had nothing to do with horses. Because he said there was nothing wrong with the horse. It was something going on inside of her that needed healing. And he had her stand beside a river, and he said, "Watch this river as it's flowing." He said, "There's no effort, nothing. It just flows easily." And he said, "That's what you have to do, is you have to allow what's going on inside of you to just flow easily." All right? And the same thing for us. We have to learn how to flow with the flow, okay? To allow ourselves to flow with the movement of God within us. And again, I stress, it is not really something we have to do. Rather, it is an ongoing divine process within us. We have to learn how to just allow. All right? And this is not about sitting around in a lotus position, you know, and doing nothing. Most of us couldn't get into a lotus position. And if we could, we probably couldn't get out. Right? Okay. So it's more about maintaining a conscious inner knowing while doing whatever you are doing. Whatever you're doing, yeah, so you're creeping this conscious inner knowing. So if you look at Thich Nhat Hanh, he'll say, you know, you maintain that conscious inner knowing while you're washing the dishes, while you're eating, while you're, you know, cutting the grass, while you're doing whatever, right? So whatever you're doing, you're keeping this conscious inner awareness, you know, this inner knowing of God, and knowing in this moment a miracle is trying to happen through you, through me, through all of us, right? And this is especially important with all that is facing the human race right now, all right? So, you know, we read in, we'll read in Scripture, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to allow harm to come to you, plans to give you hope and a future filled with joy." Okay? And, you know, and so that's the thing we want to know. We understand it. These divine ideas, this great prosperity and abundance and health that we want has already been planned for us. Okay? We have to be able to allow this process to happen. And, you know, let me share these ideas with you from a Path Lent booklet. It said, you know, "There are days when I daydream about the details, wondering how the particulars of my life will unfold. But if I feel uncertain about life's journey, I remind myself to stay calm and remain focused on God as I establish healthy spiritual habits in my life. I am able to honor the path I am on. Prayer and meditation, living a God-centered life, are ways that I can take care of my spiritual well-being." Okay? And I want you to keep that in mind, that idea of my spiritual well-being. And there it is again, you know, what we have been saying over and over again. Prayer and meditation, living a God-centered life, are ways that I can take care of my spiritual well-being. And that is our spiritual quest, that being to take care of our spiritual well-being. And I think the challenge we are, you know, we have is really understanding what it means to take care of our spiritual well-being, you know. Again, it's that physical versus spiritual. We know what it means to take care of our physical well-being, and we know what it means to take care of our mental well-being, you know, right? We understand this because we have experienced the ramifications of not taking care of our physical or mental needs. But the notion of taking care of our spiritual well-being, we may not understand the significance of that because we may not be able to pinpoint a specific ailment we suffer from not taking care of our spiritual well-being. Okay? So if we go for a while without food and water or proper exercise or rest or relaxation, you know, the recuperation, that whatever it is that we're going through, then we'll understand that we need to go through some recuperation in order to, you know, remedy that, okay, to remedy the problem. But if we go for a while without taking time for prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, for the most part, there may not be any symptoms that are as identifiable as not taking care of our bodies and our minds. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, not taking care of your spiritual well-being is like not challenging or changing the oil in your car on a regular basis. You can drive that car for a very long time and it might seem fine. You might not see any problems with not changing the oil. But by the time the repercussions from not changing your oil regularly become evident, the number of problems caused can be catastrophic. Right? So the main idea we may be missing is an absolute knowing that we are truly spiritual beings made out of the same substance, the same divine substance that God is. Okay? Now think about it. God made us out of God's self. This is the only material God has, the divine substance of God's own being. The only mind God has is God mind, which God implanted in us, in each one of us. The only spirit God has is God spirit, which God implanted in each one of us. Okay? Thus the question posed by the psalmist in chapter 8, verse 9 is, "What is humankind that thou art mindful of them?" Well, God is mindful of us because we are made out of God's stuff. We're made out of the very essence that God is, right? And one of Unity's main tenets is that there is a spark of divinity within every human being. There is a spark of divinity within every human being. And British poet Robert Downing said, "You can desecrate but never lose the divine spark, the Christ presence within you." And no matter what, it is always there. It's always there. And that's the key we got to get into our minds. God is always being God, And that idea that God is always being God within each one of us. So as it is written in Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the close of the ages. All right? That's the idea. This idea is always with you. And Ernest Holmes offers this for us to think about. Right? He says, suppose you were to think of it this way. There is a spirit in me, and that spirit is God. Whether or not I understand it, there is a real myself which forever exists in pure spirit. I had nothing to do with this. I merely awoke and discovered it. I did not give it to myself, and I cannot withdraw it from myself. I can only accept it. Okay? So the key to spiritual awakening is I must accept it. I must allow it. Okay? That is our change to accept. Okay? It is our charge to accept. We have to accept and allow this process to happen. We have to accept the reality that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Now, what does that mean? It means making a firm decision to live from all that we have learned about how to live the spiritual life. And yes, again, I agree. I say this every single week, that what we're learning is easier said than done. Okay? But I also say this, it is doable. Right? There are pieces of the spiritual process we can understand. So we can begin with living from what we know right now. You know, it's not that you have to understand the entire process. What you do understand, just work with that, okay, until you master that. Again, it goes back to that The Last Samurai movie I keep telling you guys about where, I can't think of the actor's name, well known, he ends up in a Japanese village, and as he's walking around the village, he notices that everybody spends their whole day practicing and mastering the one thing that they know, okay? So you don't have to have all the spiritual knowledge. You just have to understand what you know and then practice what you know, all right? And keep practicing until you get that down. So you know, what you can do is, you know, you got to keep practicing it and keep raising the bar for yourself, okay? That's what you don't want to do is keep raising the bar for yourself. Now, this is a story I've told many times in church when we were actually in church, okay? And it was about a power lifter in a gym by the name of Butch Harmon. You probably, I don't know if you may, remember Butch, okay? He was a state trooper, and he held the powerlifting record in the police and firemen's competition nationwide. And one day, you know, we're all in the gym doing our thing, and we looked over, and Butch had loaded 675 pounds onto the bar, which he was preparing to do a bench press. That's 14 45-pound plates plus the weight of the bar, okay? So several of us ran over and asked if, you know, if he needed a spot. And he says, no. He says, I got this, which he did. Took it off the thing, bench pressed it, and threw it back up there, all right? To every one of us, this was an unbelievable and awesome display of strength. And before he did it, all of us doubted that, you know, it could even be done, that he could do it. But after he did it, all of us knew that it was possible. Now, likewise, Jesus piled onto the bar of life the weight of every excuse human beings have for not living the spiritual life. Everything we could come up with, he piled that onto the bar of life. And before he did it, no one believed that it was possible for him to lift that kind of a weight. But after he pressed the weight of life's challenges that tried to crush him and then rose and walked away from it, we now know that it is possible. And fortunately for us, unlike Jesus, the only weight we have to lift off of ourselves is the weight of our own stubborn resistance to living from the truth of who we really are, which is a being of light and love. Right. So I'm going to end with this reading from a past daily word. It says, live your truth, beloved. Become who you are created to be. Search for your life's purpose, passion, and direction. And rejoice as you accept your highest good. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
And so, Unity family, let's find that comfortable space right where we are. Feet flat on the floor, spine straight. You may lay your hands in your lap if that's comfortable for you. And gently close your eyes. And now take the words that I'm about to speak as your own. Let's take this moment to relax and allow ourselves to pause in our day to connect deeply with Spirit. Take a deep breath in and out, and feel yourself begin to relax a little more. Be aware of your body as you breathe in and out. Allow any tension to gently slip away. And take another deep breath in. And exhale. In this moment, I let go of any troubles on my heart and mind as I become fully present to this now moment. I find that it doesn't take that much time out of my day to find peace. Sweet peace. True peace is in me always. As I quiet my mind and relax my body, I find that there is a deep peace already within me. In this moment of stillness, I feel this tranquil presence within me. I silently affirm to myself, in quiet times of prayer, I am filled with a sense of tranquility. I feel this deep peace filling me from my toes to the top of my head. Inner peace is a quiet choice within that no one sees and that no one hears. It is a gentle and simple state of being. Fully embracing each moment, whatever that is, brings peace. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. As I open myself to the divine power within. And so join me on that journey to the secret place of the Most High, a place in consciousness, and a place where you can experience the love, peace, joy, and faith of God. Use this time to pray and receive answers to your prayers. Breathing in and out once more, I feel a peaceful oneness with all of life. I am grateful for this truth, and I say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Now slowly come back to your surroundings, and as you continue with the rest of your day and evening, please remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
Thank you, honey. That was great. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. As always, we give our heartfelt thanks for all the abundant blessings you've been sending to Unity Center of Light during this time. And with that, I will ask you to hold your offering in your heart, in your hand, in your mind, and let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. So you have light notes?
Yes, I have some light notes for today, Sunday, March the 14th. Commitment forms are available online. You can fill them out online and send them back to the online. The commitment form is your way to support your spiritual home for 2021. It's also a personal commitment between you and your indwelling Christ for your spiritual growth. If you turned in a commitment form last year, we ask that you renew it each year. We are always grateful for your generous support. We are forming a bylaws team to review our Unity Center of Light bylaws and formulate recommended changes to align with these unprecedented times. We are also seeking candidates for the Board of Trustees. Please email Patty if you are interested or have any questions. And our virtual annual family meeting is Sunday, April the 25th at 1 p.m. We hope to see you then. And as always, please check your updates and e-newsletter for the links.
Okay. All right. I think it's time to bless the path we walk this week.
Yes. So we're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right. And we have a little bit different version of the prayer for protection. We've seen other Unity Centers add this to it. It just gives it more emphasis. So let's just say this together. The light of God surrounds us. I am light.
The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, we are very thankful for having all of you with us today. Hopefully, many of you are joining us in the Zoom session right after this. If you're all of a sudden saying, oh, where's the Zoom session link? It is in your either the e-newsletter you got this week or the weekly update that you got. Both of those have the Zoom link in it. Right. So we look forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
Yes, have a great week and a great day. Yeah. We'll see you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.